Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good Friday morning. Welcome into the Newell Norman Show. I'm Christian Garrick, sitting in for the sheriff on New Year's Eve. Be safe out there for New Year's. Everybody have a happy New Year. Welcome into the show. And without further ado, our first guest is Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards. Governor, how are you? Thanks for the time and happy New Year.
Well, Christian, I'm doing well. And I thank you for asking. Happy New Year to you and all your listeners. I know this is not the way we wanted to start the year in terms of our public health situation relative to COVID. But, you know, it is what it is. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to come on and speak to you. And I hope Newell is enjoying a really well-deserved break.
I'm sure he is. And there have been mighty, mighty big shoes to fill. So just trying to survive. You know what I mean? Governor, what do you rely on from your time in the Army or at West Point that helps you and maybe some of the things you've had to face during the pandemic? Is it logistics, decision-making? If you could just tell me about that.
Well, first of all, it's a great question, and a lot of that it isn't something that you consciously do. It's just what you've been educated and trained to do, and have done. Even after the Army, and whether it's in my business or here as governor, and you know, there's a lot of things that translate in terms of what they teach you about leadership. And this is not to in any way to say that everything has been perfect and you know, mistake-free and that sort of thing. But what you have to do is you have to surround yourself with the very best people that you can, and you have to accept their counsel unless you just have a compelling reason not to. And then, you try to make timely decisions and that are good decisions. You can't wait until you have all the information you might want to make a perfect decision, because most often the perfect decision comes too late. And so you just do what you can. And that's particularly true in a pandemic, because you're always further behind in a pandemic than you would think, than today's numbers tell you. And that's something that's been borne out. And we're in our fifth surge now, and that's proven true every single time. You're always much further behind than you think you are if all you're doing is taking a daily snapshot of the numbers, even though the numbers over the last few days have been very, very sobering, Christian, as I'm sure you and your listeners are aware.
Governor, was there ever a consideration when this Omicron variant started the surge? Was there ever a consideration to go back to the mask mandate?
Well, not yet. It hasn't been a recommendation to me from public health. It's not one that we have had a recommendation from the CDC or otherwise. What we're trying to do is make sure people understand that we are, in fact, in a fifth surge, that this Omicron variant is easily the most transmissible form of the virus that we've seen to date. And the jury is still out. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence, but you don't see official proclamations to this effect that the disease caused by Omicron is a little less severe. We don't know that for sure. It seems like that might be the case. But even if it's the case that fewer people who get it will end up in the hospital or dying, if you have a tremendous amount of new cases, if you have a disease burden that you haven't experienced thus far, then just the math works out that you could end up with more people in the hospital, even if it's a less virulent form of the virus. And I will tell you that the numbers, and we're not posting these numbers, but I want to give them to you today because I just received them, and they may be posted later today. But we're reporting another 9,930 cases on just over 50,000 tests. Now, that's right at a 20% positivity. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, we were down around 3% positive. And I want people to know that the at-home test, the antigen test that you can more easily acquire, although the demand is outstripping supply, those don't feed into those numbers. And so there's a lot, and people who are asymptomatic are unlikely to test, even though they're infected and infectious. And so these numbers are very troubling, especially on New Year's Eve, when we know that people tend to gather in large numbers and in close proximity to one another, indoors and so forth, all the things that you really don't want to happen. And it's not so much the cases. Well, first of all, cases are always a concern. But we're really looking at hospitalizations, and today we have 881 inpatients in our hospitals across the state of Louisiana. It was 762 the day before. It was 659 the day before. It was 514 the day before that. So this is the third consecutive day where we've had an increase of more than 100 net inpatient hospitalizations, and so that's a very troubling trend. And so we're just trying to make sure people understand what's going on, that they know how important it is to vaccinate and boost. I was able to speak to medical directors of chief medical officers of all of the tier one hospitals across the state yesterday. Virtually nobody's in the hospital who's vaccinated and boosted. And there's a continuum, Christian, where the most severe disease is focused on those people who are totally unvaccinated. The least severe outcomes are those who are vaccinated and boosted, and it's kind of a continuum between those two. So it's pretty clear what people have to do to protect themselves, and the most important thing is vaccinate and boost. And then when you have a surge, like we're going through right now, stay out of high-risk situations where you're indoors with people not from your immediate households in really close proximity. And if you're going to do those things, it's really important to mask. And so that's the message we're trying to get out to people, is it's not time to panic. It is time to be concerned and do those things that are necessary to protect you and your family and your community. And just like has been the case for a long time now, vaccinations, boosting, masking, distancing, those things still work.
Governor, bear with me on this question. It seems like there's much less emphasis on therapeutics than testing. So I'm curious, have you spoken to the White House or any other federal authorities about increasing their efforts on therapeutics?
Yeah, well, we do. And we have calls at least every other week with the White House. We had one this week. And they're working on therapeutics. You know, so there have been some positive announcements. For example, both Merck and Pfizer have developed antiviral pills. The most promising is a Pfizer pill called Paxlovid. It actually has an emergency use authorization. It's a regimen of three pills that you take twice a day for 5 days. So it's a total of 30 pills. It's 70% effective at preventing disease from progressing to the point where hospitalization is required. And that's very, very positive. Those are the sorts of therapeutic interventions that are going to be necessary for us to kind of move through the pandemic phase and get to where COVID is endemic here. The challenge for us, Christian, is even though it's very positive with the development and the emergency use authorization, these pills are not readily available in large quantities. And we think we get our first allocation next week, and it's going to be several hundred doses of the antiviral pills by Pfizer, not in the thousands. And there'll be a couple of thousand doses given to us of the Merck pill, which is less effective. We think it's about 30% effective. But those are very positive advancements. You know, we have remdesivir, we have monoclonal antibody infusions today. Unfortunately, the two that we relied on primarily to help us prevent people from needing hospitalization during the Delta surge are not effective against Omicron. And starting next week, unless they reverse course, we won't even be getting allocations of that one. We're going to be getting a monoclonal antibody infusion by GlaxoSmithKline that is effective against Omicron. But again, it's in relatively small numbers. And so that tool is not going to be readily available to us, and people can't count on it the way they did during the Delta surge. But we speak to the White House, to the CDC, to the FDA, to all of our federal partners quite often about therapeutic interventions, about increased testing. You know, there's more testing going on today than at any point, but it can't match the demand. So many people want to be tested. And one of the main things that I need to share with the listeners is we want you to be tested. If you're symptomatic, if you believe that you've been exposed, if you're symptomatic, we want you to be tested. And if you can't be tested right away, you need to believe that you've been exposed. If you quarantine. And if you're symptomatic and you're waiting to test, don't continue life as normal before you test and find out whether or not you have COVID. You should regard yourself as being COVID positive so that you don't unnecessarily expose others in that interim of time. And you really can't test your way. Testing is not a strategy to continue to engage in high risk activities. It's better to test than not to test, but test your way into something that is small and that is hopefully outdoors and so forth. And just be very, very prudent, because the decisions that we all make for ourselves don't just have an impact on ourselves. They impact our families and our community. And that's the nature of a public health emergency. And it's more so today than at any other point, just because of how transmissible this form of the virus is.
Governor, I got one more for you before you run. Okay. What do you make of the president saying there's no federal solution to the pandemic and the solution is at the state level?
Well, you know, I was on the call with him when he said that. And I understood him to mean that they don't have all the answers and all the resources. Obviously, they're indispensable in our efforts to combat this pandemic and to preserve public health and hospital capacity and all those sorts of things. And they're working on tests and the therapeutic interventions that you just mentioned and so forth. But that they can't do it alone. It requires a partnership between the federal government and the states, and that he's looking for that collaborative, positive relationship. And I think he was just reaffirming something that we've known all along, and that is that they can't make decisions and make things available in Washington and then just assume that by itself is going to end this pandemic. I didn't regard it at the time or now as something that was earth shaking. He was verbalizing something that I think we've all believed all along. But we do welcome any assistance we can get from the federal government. You know, for example, we continue to have additional medical staff in the state on contract, fully paid for by the federal government through FEMA. We get monthly extensions of that, and it would have been very easy for the federal government in November to discontinue that. But we made the case that based on what happened last year, even without Omicron, we would have a surge of some proportion, and that we wanted to keep those additional nurses and therapists and doctors available. Well, they agreed with that and let us keep them, and here we are in a full-blown surge with Omicron, and that's the type of federal assistance that we need. It gets really hard if the whole nation is surging at once, and that's what's happening with Omicron. So if you have hotspots, they can send Department of Defense medical personnel or Health and Human Services medical personnel and teams in order to augment what we have at hospitals. We really don't see that being a possibility this time. Not that we won't ask, but they just simply aren't going to have enough people to send to all the states who are going to need it. But the partnership is really, really important, Christian. And I think that's what the president was trying to say. That's what I understood. I was on the call when he made the comment. And I think it just stands to reason that when you have a public health challenge this big, that has lasted this long, that it's going to take all of us, and they can't make decisions and take actions at the federal level that are going to solve this problem for all of us.
Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards, I know you got to run. You're pressed for time. Thanks again for the time, and once again, Happy New Year.
No, Christian, thank you, and I want to wish all the listeners a Happy New Year, and just please do what you need to do to keep yourself, your family, your community safe, and let's all pray that 2022 is a much, much better year, and that we close it out, at least as it relates to the pandemic, in a much better condition than we started. And thank you, Christian, for allowing me to call in today.
Absolutely. Have a Happy New Year.
Sure. Thank you.
Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards. We'll step away and come back. This is the Newell Norman Show. I'm Christian Garrick, filling in for the sheriff here on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.